How about if you just bow your heads? Say, Father, we thank you.
Father, we thank you.
That I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. And my spirit does perceive what the Holy Ghost wants from me. What I need to do. And when to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. So God's plans and man's plan are different, aren't they? And if we get that reality, it might be helpful. So we're going to go to John chapter 7. St. John, the Gospel, chapter 7. I want to kind of point out that when God prepared his son, he had a plan, but he also had a plant that had already been prepared, meaning his people. There were some that took his advice, and they were able to grow. Even if they were groaning in the midst of it, they were growing. And I want to kind of point out one verse first, which is verse 37. And it says in that verse, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. I think it's important to realize that he did it in a loud voice. You know why? That makes me feel better.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because periodically I hear my voice going louder. And when it is going louder, it's because there's a reason. And it's not always my soul. Mm-hmm. And I have heard from John that there is a powerful voice within him. And when that powerful voice speaks, John, the demons shake. All right? And you say, well, why are you saying that? Because sometimes you need to know that you have that authority to make them shake.
Amen.
And they will back off. But they're not going to do it without a fight.
That's right.
And even if they're afraid of you, they're not going to show their fear. They're going to push their agenda. And their agenda is to wipe you out. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Whew. He said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You say, well, how can you drink from a person? I'll be honest with you. There have been people in my life that I drank from because they poured out love. They poured out acceptance. They poured out their energies. They poured out their love, their acceptance, their healing. And I partook and received it. But I had to make the choice because many times I saw their flaws. And the darkness would say, ooh, but they did this. Mm-hmm. Trying to cancel the container.
Amen.
Amen.
All right? And the surprise to me was this, the very people that I expected to have the disability had the ability. And my judgments were wrong. And I had to give out mercy. Verse 37 again on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit. Is it any clearer that the Spirit is that living water, that latter rain, that victory, that he will wash away the darkness out of us? And he's doing it piece by piece when we make the choice to say yes. A little piece at a time. Do you ever figure out how long it takes for a stone inside of a brook to become smooth? Yeah. Think about that. How rough are we? How many harsh edges are there that if somebody gets a little too close, we can actually scrape them and scratch them and cut them? Do you ever reach out to somebody that you know you better not get too close because you will get scratched and you will get cut? Because they are razors. And you better wait for the living water to cleanse them. Like he's working on you and on me. This morning when I was in the shower, which God's Holy Spirit doesn't care if you're naked. He doesn't get all bent out of shape over your body that's not quite perfect. He loves you the way you are. Okay? So I've got this flow of water going over me, and I said, "Oh, Lord, this is feeling so good this morning. I really, not that I was that dirty. I took a bath yesterday afternoon. But, you know, it just felt awesome to be able to just let that warm water run down my spine. And I did my stretching and blah, blah, blah. And he said, "If the living water that comes from this little sprinkler over your head can do a job on your body, how much more can that living water come from my belly and wash you out and get rid of the garbage that's in there? If you'll submit to me." If is not a very big word, but it's conditional on your decision. If you decide to let him clean you up, it's going to cost you your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's going to cost you your mind, your will, and your emotions. I want you to back it up to verse 25. It says in the NIV in bold letters, "Is Jesus the Christ?" At that time, some of the people in Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the anointed one, Christ? But we know that where this man is from, when the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from." Do you think the Holy Ghost tattled on these people? "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own." He's not there to please himself. "But he who sent me is true. You do not know him, But I know him because I am from him and he sent me. In other words, there are times you're going to be sent places and people will be irritated. You're going to speak a word and it's going to cause irritation. Watch verse 30. At this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Notice again, his time had not yet come. Nothing's going to happen to you until there's a season of testing that's been decreed by Papa. And when Papa says there's a season of testing coming, he'll prepare you. There are times that the Lord has given me words about get ready. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And you know that you're going to be going through a test. And you intercede and you pray that the Lord will give you the grace that you need to go through. 31. Still many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? So there are some that have discerned he's, yes, the anointed one. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. 33. Jesus said, I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Watch the natural response. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? In other words, we're all powerful. We know everybody in this country. We can handle it. We are in charge. Will he go where our people live, scattered among the Greeks? So they've got reasoning going, don't they? And teach the Greeks. That might be a really problem. What did he mean when he said, you will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. And on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Does he have a bucket with him?
No.
No. Whoever believes in me, and some are believing in him, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them, or me, or you. Streams. It's got an S on it, doesn't it? Streams with an S? Okay. Zechariah 14:8. Zechariah 14:8. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, in summer and in winter. Some people think that there's going to be an earthquake that's going to break the city open. What is he talking about? Zechariah is prophesying that there's going to be living water coming. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem. Where was Jesus when he advertised who he was? In Jerusalem. Was he saying that he was the living water? Yes, he was. Has it already happened? I pray that there's more to come, but I do also believe that it happened. Revelation 7, verse 17. Before I read it, I want to remind you, are we the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Yes.
Revelation 7. Verse 17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Whew. Wow. So who's living at the center of the throne? Where's the throne? Inside the temple. Who's the temple? I am. Yes?
Yes.
And inside of me, there's a spring of living water flowing out of me, wiping away every tear from their eyes. What's coming out of me and you is going to heal them and heal and set them free and wash away their tears and their hopelessness.
Amen.
Revelations 22:1. Then the angel... Yes, Revelations 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. Yeah, has he got a view of Jesus? Yes. As clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Who's the throne of God?
We are.
Isn't that cool? It isn't all in the future. It's now. Yes or no?
Amen.
It's not something that's so baffling that you got to take 3 months to figure it out. Read the word, digest it, and swallow it. Verse 2. Down the middle of the great city, or street of the city, on each side of the river stood a tree of life. Woo-hoo. Did we partake of the tree of life today?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Bearing 12 crops of fruits. Whew, cool. Yielding its fruits every month. No calories.
Praise the Lord.
And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the
nations
and nationalities. So black, white, green, whatever color you are, don't matter. Your leaves are going to heal them. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 17 of the same chapter. Skip down. Verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears says, come. Whoever is thirsty. Woo-hoo! Are you thirsty? Yes. Let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I rest my case. The free gift of the water of life. And it's flowing out of my spirit. You know, you can complicate this book, and it has multiple meanings for different reasons and seasons. But I believe that this is Pentecost, and we had Pentecost on Tuesday. We celebrated, we asked for God's angels to come, we asked for His Holy Ghost to have a party, and He did. And you know what? You've tasted some of His living water today.
Amen.
That's what I believe He did. We asked Him not to quit on us, because sometimes we get tired. We get discouraged. We want to straighten out a few people. Well, maybe I should say I want to straighten out a few people.
Me too. Me too.
Okay? I have helpers, though. I have associates. But we're learning not to retaliate, but to pour out living water on their hearts, to pour out the healing that they need so that they can become what you and I have tasted. So if you'll lift your hands to Him and say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I have within me
a living water.
Not from me.
But from him.
He poured it out in me.
And now it's ready to flow.
To the north.
To the south.
To the east.
To the west.
To wash away the pain.
In those that I meet.
And when I pray,
I'm expecting them
to get cleaned up. And while you're cleaning them, you're going to be cleaning me. It's a two-way street. When I give out love, I get loved by my papa. And when I get love, and it's bubbling out of me, it's like that living water coming from the throne of my heart, where the Lamb is in charge. Yes, he's inside of me. He's not in a pen. He's in a beautiful corner of my heart,
ready to flow,
ready to set free those that are captivated by the world and its system. Hallelujah. These are my leaves. I'm shaking those leaves now. And there's healing in these leaves. Hallelujah. I've been sent to heal the sick. For God's glory. Hallelujah. No longer looking for a flood. In downtown Jerusalem. I've got a flood.
Right inside of me.
To touch those around me. Hallelujah. I'm going to have a great week. With multiples of miracles. For God's glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. And if you go home without a hug, you're in trouble.